Welcome to Webcology. Webcology is the show that takes you into the deepest and darkest ends of the ecosystem on the internet. Our guides will take you on a journey into web marketing and bring you the experts and the information so that you can further explore the web marketing world. Now, here are the hosts of Webcology, Jim Hedger and Dave Davies.
Hey everyone, welcome to Webcology here on WebmasterRadio.fm. It's the 15th of January, 2015, and Dave Davies is back.
I'm back.
Hey. You're back. Happy New Year, dude. I haven't talked to you since last year.
I know, and it's good to be back, of course.
Last week, Dave was on an important business skiing trip with his family.
Very, very important.
Yes. You missed a fun show last week. Last week we had this. Christine Schackinger sat in, graciously sat in, and did an amazing job. And we covered this post that appeared at SEO Moz, that I guess SEO Moz hadn't vetted. And it always surprises me when I find out that people actually listen to the show, Dave. And a couple days later, we got mentioned in Jenny Haslett's article in Search Engine Land.
Yeah, I've seen the article, but you know what? I mean, you did the show. You know, I can put it into context from reading the article. But maybe you want to tell our listeners what was the issue? It was based on as you'd mentioned, on a Moz Whiteboard Friday, a post they had done. Enlighten me. What did you talk about on the show?
I mean, ultimately, it's the ongoing issue that we talk about way too often. People giving less than stellar advice as an SEO. I guess, you know, listeners know that we come from the perspective that our work is important, powerful, and can directly affect somebody else's business. We touch other people's stuff all day long, right?
Yeah.
And there's a responsibility that comes with that. I don't want to sound cheesy or hokey or old. Well, I don't mind sounding old because that's I am. But there's a responsibility that comes when somebody gives you money to do any service for them, be it gutter cleaning or improving the lot of their business in search and social media.
Yep.
Like, they're giving you money. That money could have been spent on their children. It could have been spent on their car payments or their mortgage or their retirement or whatever, but they gave it to you to do something for them. So as SEOs, service providers, we owe them absolutely the best service we can give. Okay, everybody can agree with that statement. That's easy. I mean, yeah. That's one of those no-brainers. But SEO is one of those fields where we learn from each other. There are very few playbooks on SEO, and those that are written under the understanding that they'll likely be outdated 15 minutes after they're published.
Yep.
So there's not a lot of instruction manual, but what there is advice forums, newsletters, news sources.
Radio shows.
The secret SEO discussions that happen. And one of the more important ones is SEO Moz. SEO Moz's import to the community is... you know what? I don't think I can find a word large enough without understating how important SEO or how important Moz is to the Moz community is to the SEO community, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Now, I'd suggest that 99 times out of 100, Moz does the right thing. Moz is you've got to admire what Rand and Jillian built. You've got to admire what the Moz crew is doing with what Rand and Jillian built. And 99 times out of 100, they get it right.
Mm-hmm.
But when they don't, as was the case with an article that was published 2 weeks ago at SEO Moz, the repercussions can be staggering. This article, I don't want to go too deep into it. It looked, felt, and smelt like SEO snake oil. And to compound it, the author of the article accused a number of other people of selling SEO snake oil. And so we took it to task. Not because we had a problem with Moz. See, this is how old I am. I call them SEO Moz. And just
I know. I do, too, all the time.
How I know them. But it's Moz. I don't got a problem with Moz. I don't got a problem with the Moz community. In fact, I have a good deal of admiration for Moz and the Moz community. And again, what they've done with the machine that Rand and Gillian built. But when you're giving out information in the SEO sector, you got to remember that a lot of newer SEOs, younger SEOs, people just getting into the game or have been into the game for less than 5 years, we're learning as guys like us who have been in it from the very beginning. We're learning it as we go along because effectively we're basically inventing it as we go along. Right. To this day. And that's where I don't mean to speak on behalf of Christine. I'm in the position to. I hope she'll agree with me. That's, I think, where both Christine and I kind of like where we felt a line had been crossed, in that this article clearly hadn't been vetted before it had been published. And it got published with the weight of the name Moz behind it.
Right.
Now, to Moz's credit, they've come out and spoken openly about their process and about that article itself. I don't want to leave this little segment with the impression that Moz is doing bad stuff or continues to do bad stuff, because they don't at all. They don't. But in that one instance, they had, and it was worth calling them because they're one of the control points in the industry, you know?
Definitely.
And anyway, it was just kind of the whole point of that whole thing was I always get amazed when I find out that people actually listen to this show. another shout out I really want to give right now. Last week, not just coming off the air last week, I picked up my mobile phone. So I had a new Twitter message, and it was Dana Lukadu, who had been listening to the show, and said that we had really cheered her up last week. And I think Christine and I had both the same reaction. Like, wow, wish we knew you were listening. We'd have given you a shout-out. So this is it. This is that.
This Dana, is that shout-out. And you know what? I've been, of course, following, as we all have. And if she is listening, you know, congratulations on finding a good new personal trainer. Seems to be doing some great stuff for over the past week or so. She was kind of going downhill, and this new trainer she's got is getting her some mobility back. So good to hear.
Yeah, the last couple posts from Dana have been delightful to read. The ones previously were, it's good reading them because it's good to know where she's at. But it was sad to read them because she was obviously in pain. But she seems to be, you know, on a different track now. So that's wonderful.
Yes.
Folks who sit behind a desk all day long, like I do, appreciate what we got, you know, because we're, if you're healthy, you're very lucky.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's get into some tech stuff. Stuff actually happened this week. It mightn't seem that way, but it really did. Before we hit the tech stuff, I want to make you feel old again.
Oh, no.
I got to do it. It's just my way. And this is a special one, though. I mean, this is we're geeks, right? Geeks like this sort of stuff. This is back in the day when the Sci-Fi Network was actually making science fiction. Much like the History Network was actually showing history shows. 10 years ago today, Battlestar Galactica, the new version of Battlestar Galactica debuted its first episode. You remember its first episode? It was titled 33. You remember that episode where the Cylons kept showing up every 33 minutes?
Yeah, that was awesome.
The tension, the political and spiritual issues that were raised in that one hour of television was phenomenal. I'm not sure I can find the right word. It was a breakthrough moment in TV.
You know, it was, and I've got to say, I was looking forward to Battlestar Galactica because I'm a nerd. And then that episode came on, and I got to say, it was a bit to me like the first episode with the Borg, for example, or when you first met Q. It was like everything after that. It kind of went downhill. And the thing was, the series was great, but that episode was so incredible. That everything after that was just kind of like, oh, well, that's not as good as it was. as that first episode, because you're right. It had just a ton of suspense, a ton of, like, it did a lot. It was a great episode.
And that was a decade ago today.
Thanks, Jim.
Amazes me. Truly amazes me. Frackin' old. Okay. Now the fun stuff. Ha.
Now in with the new.
So, have you ever gone to Google Webmaster Tools and...
No. Not once.
You go to Google Webmaster Tools and you're like, God, I wish this worked better. If only they did this. If only I was able to see whatever. And, you know, we've all had that experience, eh? You go to Google Webmaster Tools, you got what you needed, but it would have been so much better had you only been able to see this, this, and that.
Yeah.
Well, Google's asking its users, webmasters, SEOs, general Google users, whatever, to make suggestions to improve Google Webmaster Tools and to improve Google Search.
Mm-hmm.
There's an article posted. I mean, actually, there's articles posted in every one of the trade journals today. The one I'm riffing off of was published in the SEM Post, written by Jennifer Slegg.
She's doing some great work these days.
Who's doing some great work these days. I actually just jumped to the article to try to grab the URL, but the URL is kind of complicated. It's google.com/moderator/16E=.
MCC,
etc.
So, go to the SEM Post.
Yeah, the sempost.com, much simpler than google.com/moderator/16E=21C452. Okay. The sempost.com, look for the article, Ideas for Google Web Search and Webmaster Tools, Google Wants to Know. So I jumped in there, Dave, and I want to see some of the suggestions that have been made to this point.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and also, this is... This reminds me of almost like a Reddit room where you're allowed to vote up or vote down people's suggestions. You're allowed to make responses. There's healthy debate happening around various suggestions.
Mm-hmm. Which is great.
The number one suggestion comes from Blind 5-Year-Old. Anyone who's familiar with the SEO world is familiar with this character. Although I got to tell you, I don't know who Blind 5-Year-Old is. I don't think I've ever met him, but I know that I really want to. He's one of the newer SEOs, but seems like a really clever guy.
Yeah.
Linked from URLs from 404 errors. You know, Google will show you all the 404 errors, but then you have to actually go and hunt for them, where they are on the page or where they might be coming from a link leading to you. So I think he wants a batch export to bring all these into a spreadsheet. So it's much easier to and faster to get to them.
Yeah, I just gave that one a big boost because that's been a frustration for me, for everybody. I'm sure for you too, where it's like, and here's your broker, and you have to go one by one to see which ones. And it's just like, oh my goodness, this is painful. I just want to know the ones that are like. And you've seen them, I've seen them, I'm sure, where you've changed the site structure. So a lot of them are just false positives. But what you want to know are, what are the ones with external links? Because I need to redirect those. I know the internal ones are about to fix themselves, but I need to know the external ones.
And then you got to go look, then you got to go backspace, then you got to go look, then you got to close the little small box that Google Webmaster Tools is open for you. Then you got to go look again, you got to go backspace, you got to close that little small box. And it's maddening.
It is maddening, and to make matters worse to me is they only give you 1,000 at a time, right? So what if you've got a site, and I'm working on one, with hundreds of thousands of pages, and you move things around, you can only go in batches of 1,000. So on top of not having an export, you've only got a batch of 1,000, then you're done for the day. You got to wait till the next time they update the thing to get your next 1,000. I think, I'm giving that one a big high five.
Here's another one put up by our friend Barry Schwartz. An automated action viewer so webmaster can see if they are impacted by an algorithm such as Panda or Penguin. That would be cool. Although, I mean, I imagine you do the same thing. I use the Moz, basically what I call the Moz calendar.
Yeah.
Where Moz has traced the first date they'd heard of an update or first date they could say an update was happening. And then, that's just one of the ways you can see if you had major movement in your analytics. You can always trace it back by date, which is kind of a clumsy, slow, several-step way to do stuff, eh?
Yeah. Yeah. So, it is. But you know what? At the same time, you know what? It's like removing that keyword data. Have you ever gone in there and you end up going, oh, and that too, right? Like, but where by being forced to go the long way through, you've actually uncovered maybe a couple other things. And what would be the threshold? What if it wasn't like impacted? Impacted how? Impacted up? Impacted down? What's the threshold? Impacted 1%? Impacted 50%? What a nightmare that would be.
Well, okay. You know what? That would be something worth writing as a response to get a debate going. And that's one of the things I love about this kind of crowdsourcing of that Google's doing, you know, because it allows us to get in actually debate in an area that we know Google engineers will be looking. And even if they don't go with a suggestion, they might get something out of responses to the suggestion.
Right. Or what they're doing is they're just watching to see what we suggest and going, okay, and what are these people getting at now? And so they can hide more stuff from us.
That's right. So either this is one of the best things that's happened in SEO in a long time, or it's another way we're getting screwed. Either way, it's pretty cool. Anyway, that's I do strongly suggest people go and pursue this. Take a look, add your suggestions, see what other people are suggesting, and at the very least, we'll have a gripe sheet for Google later. Yeah. Okay, we're going to take a break in a few minutes. We got time for one more quickie. I think we can cover this pretty fast. Notice the value of your dollar declining rapidly, Dave?
I have noticed this. I couldn't be happier, but go for it.
Now, quick note to those who can't tell by the accent or by the subject material, Dave and I both reside in Canada. Canada's dollar is... when measured against the American dollar, is kind of falling fast. I'd say like a Led Zeppelin, but I don't know if anybody would get that. Canada's dollar is tied to the price of oil. Oil's dropped through the floor. We're in the $39-$38 a barrel range now. Canadian dollar is trading around 85, 84, maybe even 83 cents American. Now, for Canadians, that means bulk up on American clients because they got the money. For Americans, that means the 15% discount you get from a Canadian service provider today might be a 20% discount tomorrow. We don't know. For all of us, it's kind of uncomfortable. I mean, I love the declining dollar too because, you know, Dave, you and I are effectively, we're exporters, right?
Yeah.
We tend to have clients who enjoy the break that the declining Canadian dollar gives them. But it's also kind of scary because the underpinning of the economy is very volatile right now.
Oh, that's very true. You know, you always see these spots, but of course, I'm sure you have too. I've been reading up, you know, sort of as this has been going on, reading a lot about it. When you see the dollar do this, I think the spot we're in right now, I mean, to me, and fortunately I'm agreed with by some authors over at the Globe and Mail, some financial analysts, but that right about now is about the fair value, that ours was deflated and that it's actually going into the unfair value. But to me, we're seeing right now the sort of downside, or we're going to see that initial downside, you know, larger American companies taking advantage of the fact that they can once again go, hey, we can charge them more and actually sort of justify it, which they were charging us more when we were at par. And you know, all of us are kind of looking going, really? Really? That's what you're doing to us right now? But we haven't yet seen that benefit. And you remember it. I remember it. We, as Canadians, we sell services like you and I. We sell lumber. We sell hydro. And being from over, you know, closer to Vancouver and you over in Toronto, we make a lot of movies and we have a lot of tech special effects people. To me, we haven't seen – you won't get that boost yet – from the American dollar coming up to purchase, as you called it, things cheaper up here. But if this dollar keeps sliding, it was actually one of my big problems with the pipeline and stuff. I mean, environment aside, was I don't want a higher dollar. Yeah. It's just not good for our economy. So I'm enjoying watching this. I mean, it's got to have a floor. I'd like to see it settle in around 80, maybe the high 70s. I'm enjoying this, but we'll see how it goes. Of course, oil
oil folks aren't, because they're getting hit with the dollar and they're getting hit with lower oil prices. But there we go. Maybe it'll just force us to get into a little more of alternative energies.
Indeed. Well, I thought it was worth noting, especially for, you know, people who are in the Canadian service market. Now's the time. Go south, friends. Go south. Now's the time.
Yeah.
Okay, we're going to have to take a break here. It's about 23 minutes after the hour. We're going to be coming back talking about Facebook work. You're going to love this, Dave. Like, evaluate. Okay, we got to take a break here. We're going to come back. We're going to talk about some really silly stuff that very serious people are doing. But first, we got these commercials here on Webmaster Radio on behalf of Dave Davies. This is from Beanstalk Internet Marketing. This is Jim Hedger from Digital Always Media. This is Webcology on webmasterradio.fm. Back after these messages.
Sit tight and don't move. Webcology. We'll be back after this short break.
All-inclusive marketing is the luxurious five-star resort of digital marketing.
Welcome to All-Inclusive Marketing.
Engage with All-Inclusive Marketing's award-winning strategists to ramp up your online profitability and brand exposure, driving new customer acquisitions, increased sales, and stronger buyer retention.
Another mojito, please?
All-Inclusive Marketing's full-service digital and performance marketing accommodates every brand, specializing in retail, travel, and software as a service.
What a great room.
The A in All-Inclusive Marketing means award-winning leadership, excellence in results, as well as an A rating by the Better Business Bureau. For reach, engagement, and conversion, it's All-Inclusive Marketing. Reserve a free consultation today at allinclusivemarketing.com/radio. InternetMarketingNinjas.com is the online dojo of the highly trained and skilled Internet Marketing Ninjas. Disavow documents, reconsideration requests, panda and penguin penalties. Let our superior SEO ninjas confront all of your link-related issues. The Internet Marketing Ninjas are equipped to master any marketing exercise, content creation, authorship, link building, PPC, and more. Plus, build more buzz for your brand with our social media marketing strategy. Discover all that the Internet Marketing Ninjas can do for you. Visit the online dojo now at InternetMarketingNinjas.com. Introducing Rumble, the smart mobile management system, the first end-to-end mobile platform where you can make real-time app modifications from a point-and-click dashboard. Want to change the design of your app? Point-click, and it's live in real-time. Want to change the ad map of your app? Point click and it's live in real time. Want to change the content mix of your app? Point click and it's live in real time. Power your mobile business with Rumble. Are you ready to rumble? Visit www.rumble.me.
Commercials off. Now back to Webcology, only on webmasterradio.fm.
Here are the hosts, Jim Hedger and Dave Davies.
Hey everyone, welcome back to Webcology here on webmasterradio.fm. It's the 15th January 2015, and Dave, I've got a billion-dollar idea.
What's that, Jim?
Okay, here, like, follow me here for a second, okay?
Right, I'm going to write this down so I can steal it. Go ahead.
Okay, so what if we had a social network that had, like, over a billion and a half users, right? But their bosses got really mad at them whenever they would, pursue social media at work. So here's what we do. We steal an idea from Google. It was called Google Wave, but we just sort of rebranded. We call it Facebook Wave. Okay. You know, that was the intro was really bad. I was supposed to be pretending that I was a Facebook executive. You know, so I had fangs and horns and everything. I was wearing one of those Mikhail suits. One of those Mikhail suits. Facebook has recognized that it being used as a the employees using it during work hours, and it ticks off their bosses, and that's kind of a threat to Facebook. You know, people not using Facebook is a threat to Facebook, and so they've decided to steal an idea from Google. Google used to call it Wave. I don't know what Facebook's doing. Facebook's going to call it Work. Another four-letter W word, if you ask me. Facebook Work is kind of like an intranet for people working within the same organization, except you can be social with your workmates when you go home.
Yeah, because that's what everybody wants to do.
Indeed.
It seems like a good idea. I see a few in that 8 hours. Let's hang out.
I can tell you, Dave, it seemed like such a good idea until I started talking about it.
I first found out about it when Jim Boykin had posted up on, ironically, Facebook, the article over on the SEM post about it, basically going, sorry, ninjas, his employees, this isn't happening, basically.
To which his ninjas replied on Facebook, no worries, boss.
No worries, we're already here. I think it's just a ludicrous idea. Maybe it's just me. I look and go, I don't know. Do you have internal communication systems between you and your, other employees or staff? Fair enough. There's that part. But even if you needed to keep documentation, even if you wanted to keep running threads, we have systems for that. I'm sure most companies that would need it have systems for that. And if I didn't, I would find one. I wouldn't give it to Facebook because this is my work stuff.
To be a bit more serious, Facebook is trying to be a CRM, a client relation manager or customs relations manager, in trying to create a workflow like product.
Yeah.
But, if I can't share kitten pics from outside my work environment with people inside my work environment, I just don't see why it's worth living, Dave.
I think it's going to sort of die on the table. Very, very. Hey, similar to Wave, right? The four letter words die on the table.
They do.
And yeah, I just don't see this taking. I don't know why anybody would go, hey, let's move all of our work stuff over to Facebook, or let's keep our communications over on Facebook for what business owner is going to go, yeah, let's remind our people that there's Facebook there for them, right? Like, no.
I'd like to remind both of us, myself included, that many of the people at Facebook have actually, achieved their master's in something or another.
Yeah.
Theoretically, they're very smart people.
Yeah.
That didn't help. It's so stupid.
It's still a bad idea. I mean, the problem is, and Boykin jumped on it, you jumped on it, I jumped on it, everybody I've seen talk about it is sort of going, yeah, no. I mean, maybe there's a small segment that they could grab. I don't think it's going to be enough to be worth it. Those of us that actually understand privacy and things like work environments and how people function would go, no, why would I do that? I can just, go over, use, I don't know, there's a whole litany. We use Teamwork. You can use Basecamp. You know what? Basecamp will let you have a small little network for, free, I think. Go over and use theirs to communicate with your staff. Keep it into its own closed environment.
For business owners who are worried about their employees, sort of like their employees who work from home, sort of quote unquote stealing time from the company, here's a solution. You can give them Facebook work. I'm sure that's a solution. You can see what your employees are up to all day long. But a better thing to do is give them another monitor. You ask why? Well, I'll tell you why. You give them another monitor, and then you hit them with a request for several screenshots in rapid succession, so quickly that they don't have time to edit out what's happening in the other monitor from the Photoshop, in Photoshop. So you just get the quick print screen showing what's happening on both monitors, and then you can see what they're up to. Smart, huh?
Oh, you're right.
I've been doing this for years, Dave. I got hundreds of suggestions. Okay, so that's Facebook work. That's a new initiative that Facebook's trying. Probably not a very good idea. It doesn't seem that way anyway. So what else we got out there with Facebook? What else do you want to talk about?
Well, we got Google selling domains.
We do got – actually, that was kind of cool.
That one is kind of cool. It's only available in the States right now, as you know. But you can register your domains through Google.
Yeah. Now, a lot of this is something a lot of SEOs didn't know before. A lot of them, and most people who are laypersons certainly didn't know this, but Google has been a registrar almost since day one. They've been a registrar since at least 2003 and likely earlier than that. But only recently did they open their registrar business to the general public back, I think it was July this year of 2014.
That's what I was saying. I was like, it was June, July, so that makes sense.
And then it was in a beta, sort of like an open beta, where, you know, Google introduces their products. They give, like, 15 really cool people first access, and then 10 invites each, et cetera.
Right. Let the trust rank flow down. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, if you're plugged in enough to be friends with, like, Robert Scoble, you got in early. If not, you can get in now because the beta's over. It's open to any American resident. You can now register your domains through Google Domains. I should say it's open to any American registrant except those who want to use burn and churn domains because, what are you, stupid? It's Google.
Yeah, what do you think, Jeff? Would you register your domains through Google?
Yeah, you know what? I got no problem with that, honestly. Yeah. Now, I'm not doing anything that I don't think Google would be happy with seeing on the web. My SEO strategy is, you know, very conservative. And I'm not a domainer. I'm not a burn and churner. Any one of the people I mentioned, any type of business or group I might mention now, it doesn't mean that they're doing a bad thing. It just means Google probably doesn't like what they're doing. I'm not a domainer. I'm not an affiliate marketer. I'm not a burn and churner. I'm, not making URLs just to put a website up to do quick marketing with. I'd like to think I'm a mostly serious webmaster, and Google, I'm cool with what Google sees. But if I wasn't exactly who I am, I'd probably be kind of uncomfortable.
Well, and I think your preface there was worth saying, because often, you know, we're sort of ragging, like, just naturally in the discussion, it ends up like, well, and if you're an affiliate marketer, then this is a problem or whatnot. I got my start in affiliate marketing. I don't care, just like you. But no, I wouldn't move my domains over to, you know, Google if I was. That was what I was still doing.
If the question, would I move them there? God, no. I've already got them established. But if I had to establish new ones, Google already knows everything. What's supposed to hide from them?
Well, they were the registrar. And I didn't know they were actually going to bite the bullet and start selling domains. I just kind of figured they were doing that to know who was doing what.
Well, originally, that's why they became a registrar. So they could, you remember the dossier they acquire or that they keep on every action that happens around every domain in their index?
Mm-hmm.
That's why they became the registrar, so they could have the entire historic record of that domain.
Right, which makes sense.
Absolutely useful for them. But, I mean, why would they be doing it now? The only thing I can put my finger on is, discovery, Google's discovery, what are people up to, and B, diversify. Google is one of the largest web entities today, but you remember just, you know, 15 years ago, so was Yahoo.
Yeah.
What Google has today, it could lose tomorrow. So it's a smart thing to do to diversify as many, you know, get as many revenue streams in, even if domain registry is 1/10 of 1/8 of a percent of what AdWords brings in, it's still a revenue stream.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure.
And I'm pretty sure that a bunch of nation states could live off of 1/10 of 1/8 of what AdWords brings in.
No, so. Very, very valid. Well, and I'm sure, I mean, you know, we always have these ideas, you know, we always see things, you know, in the pieces that they're in. I have a feeling we're about to see, and I'm sure you're with me on this one, that we're about to see something is about to follow, right? Like, as soon as they get this part locked down, I can only imagine they're about to follow with something else. That involves my domains and involves my website and some mechanism for them to gain even more information on it, be it, you know, more robust or pushing a little further into Google Sites, right, to get people moving their sites over onto Google in a larger volume or whatnot. Who knows? But I think we're going to see a much bigger push. I think Google just wants to control it, make the ideal. We've ragged on, say, Facebook and stuff in the past for, like, and Apple for, like, a closed garden sort of an environment. Well, what if you can make the whole web your closed garden, right? And I have a feeling that's what we're going to see Google trying to do, especially in light of losing some market share. I think we're going to see them get more aggressive.
I'm going to agree with you to a point, although it's not been Google's modus operandi to close off the web itself. It's always been Google's modus operandi to be your best friend when it comes to life service or work service tools. But it's never been in Google's what's the right word? It's never been in Google's interest to close the web off like it is for Facebook. Facebook wants you in the Facebook environment always, only.
Right.
So, oh. so that to many people, Facebook is the web.
Fair enough. What I was thinking is, I think Google, I guess we'll see over the next couple of years, is if Google can pull the web inside rather than trying to close people in, if Google can pull that web in by getting people hosting their sites through Google properties, if Google can sort of pull people into there and make it its own natural close, not that they'll want to stop people from leaving Google, but rather they'll want to collect more and more information about what's going on outside their own realm, direct realm. But time will tell.
Yep, absolutely. Absolutely. And I think, this is a good thing for Google. I don't think it's going to have a huge impact, but if Google can make you a lifelong customer from day of first registry to day of first AdWord. Oh, dude. Man. Speaking of AdWords.
Okay, what just happened?
Well, it didn't just happen. I mean, it's just one of my complaints about Google. It goes on and on and on. How many workaround accounts in your whole career, Dave, how many workaround accounts have you established so that you could just take a look at some Google data?
I'll be in the hundreds. Like, I was trying to get an estimate. I'm like, I don't even know. We're well into the triple digits, though.
Why do you got to do that?
I know.
I want to do is look at a client's AdWords data. Why will you not let me look at it through my account? They've assigned me access. They've said I can have access, and you say, well, this account can't be associated with another AdWords account because I already got an AdWords account. So you might make up a new AdWords account, and they... Oh, Dave, it was horrible.
Oh, I have the solution. You know what? I'll keep it off here. I have the solution there. It's my client center. Yeah, go to my client. I was like, oh no, wait, this might be helpful for other people. Go to my client center. Set up an account there.
Mm-hmm.
That'll deal with it all. You can load them all in there into one place.
You know what? You have saved me so many monitors. Because I almost put my fist to my monitor the other day. I was so frustrated.
I know that exact frustration. Because I have so been there. But yeah, they do have a mechanism to deal with that. I generally do it when I want to get a client's analytics and webmaster tools, and I thought that's the route you were going. Well, you know, we've got clients we're dealing with penalties. I set up an account for each client because I don't want this client associated with this client necessarily. Like, it's not this client, has a penalty. Sure. So I thought that was where you're going. But AdWords, I mind a little less because it's more, I think Google's well aware. A, this is AdWords. These don't have anything to do with each other. And I'm forking over cash. So you're going to be a little nicer to our clients. And they know that it's, you know, this is how AdWords can be managed in there. So anyway, yeah, my client center, enjoy it.
I'm thanking you in advance. I hope that it's the right solution because you know how I get, right? All frustrated, and then that frustration builds into a low tremor. Then the low tremor builds into something that's like incredible Hulkish, and it usually happens in about 6 seconds.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
it was almost at the point where I was going to call my business partner Alan. I'm like, Alan, like, I don't care about these guys' stats anymore. You deal with this.
Well, and one of the great things, you only need the one account, and then you can use the AdWords editor too to do bulk edits and stuff in there. It's quite a neat system. Anyway, enjoy it.
So there was another post in the SEM post or another article in the SEM post that went up the other day that I got to tell you, I found this kind of, this might be a stretch. I'm not positive, but Jennifer Slegg has found a couple examples of where this happens. A Facebook post became the source of information for Google's knowledge graph. Now,
I saw the post you're talking about, but
let that sink in for a second, okay? Like, knowledge graph is supposed to be the Google extracting information from extremely reputable sources, like, say, Encyclopedia Britannica, or, you know, I'll even accept the massively crowdsourced Wikipedia as a credible source for knowledge graph. But they're supposed to be going to very credible places. But in this case, they pulled up something from Facebook.
Yeah. What do you think of that?
Well, I'm wondering if correlation is causation in this case. And B, if it is true, and I really trust Jennifer Slegg's instincts. You know, as a technician and as editor / reporter, she's been pretty right on through most of her career. Okay.
Yeah.
So when she says this, and when she says, "I see this happening, and this is why I see this happening," here's how I back my opinion. I mean, I take it seriously, you know, because she's been her accomplishments or her she's got credibility. Okay, she's earned that credibility. But then I think I try to think about how Google works. You know, trying to find the best answer for any given question, and maybe the Facebook post, which I understand was ranking in position number 3 at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe the Facebook post was the best answer, but it makes me nervous because Facebook is a repository of anybody. You know, not necessarily the best answer to a question.
No, I mean here's going to make a statement. I would trust eHow more.
Okay.
Right, like, I mean, just because it is at least not – I know the people on Facebook. I mean, it's like these are – you know, it's people like me. I mean, you don't want me to be an authority. Certainly not on something like ring sizes. I find it – I mean, I believe what Jennifer's saying. There may be more sophisticated metrics at play here, right? You know, I know, right? Like, I mean, Google's getting pretty good at actually understanding things. They may have been actually, you know, they may have understood the context of this Facebook post, cross-referenced that with other data, and then just found that this write-up mechanism was going to work the best, like that the actual formatting of the post was better, but that the information was, you know, similar to what was found elsewhere.
If that's the case, I mean, if that is the case, Dave, then Facebook could be an avenue into that knowledge graph.
Yeah. Oh, it definitely could. And then, of course, SEO, this is a big stretch, assuming that my understanding of that is right, which I'm not even kind of saying it is. But if that was correct, well, then what do we start to do? We start to do some research, finding out, okay, how are these write-ups working for the knowledge graph stuff, and then making Facebook posts worded similar, but in whatever formats we see Google using more often.
and of course, this is the way we stop this from happening in the long run.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then within a couple of months, Google will stop.
Yes. On that, we got to take a break. We're approaching 3/4 of an hour now. So, on behalf of Dave Davis from Beanstalk Internet Marketing, this is Jim Hedger from Digital Always Media. You're listening to Webcology on WebmasterRadio.fm. It is the 15th of January, 2015. Stick around. We're going to be closing up after this break.
Sit tight and don't move. Webcology. We'll be back after this short break. Whether you are an online business or domain name investor, you need access to the best names. With over 270 million domains already registered, finding the right names at the best price requires a great wingman. Namejet.com puts you in the pilot seat by giving you fast and unparalleled access to some of the best premium and expired domain names on earth. As the number one domain name auction platform, Namejet.com is the best place to find domains for your business or investment. So light the afterburners to the domain name aftermarket and fly over to Namejet.com at Mach speed to get great domains today. Namejet.com.
InternetMarketingINC.com is one of the fastest-growing full-service digital marketing agencies in the country, specializing in providing results-driven online marketing solutions. Internet Marketing Inc.'s passionate team prides themselves on staying ahead of marketing trends to create and implement campaigns that get more traffic to your website, gain positive brand awareness, and drive conversions. If you are looking for a data-driven approach to online marketing and advertising, call Internet Marketing Inc. today at 866-563-0620. or visit internetmarketinginc.com.
ShipStation helps online retailers ship orders faster. It's so easy to set up and use. ShipStation gives you tools to automatically import, manage, and ship your orders in the most cost-efficient way. Save money with the best USPS rates possible, as well as a free USPS account. ShipStation integrates with all the most popular e-commerce platforms and shipping carriers. Get shipping done no matter where you sell or how you ship. WebmasterRadio.fm listeners get an additional 30 days free after the free 30-day trial. Go to ShipStation.com/WebmasterRadio now. Shipping Nirvana starts here.
Commercials off. Now back to Webcology, only on WebmasterRadio.fm. Here are the hosts, Jim Hedger and Dave Davies.
Hey, everyone. Welcome back to Webmaster Radio, to Webcology here on WebmasterRadio.fm. It is the 15th of January, 2015. We're closing out the show. We've got about 10 minutes left. And, hey, Dave.
Yes, Jim.
Hello, the way we introduce story. Hey, Dave.
Here's a new story to you.
If you ever begin to think that the bottom is falling out of the SEO market, or that, you know, you need to diversify your own business, you're already involved with Google, so I suggest you become an insurance agent.
Well, I was looking for something new to do. I was like, yeah. I need to diversify insurance. Okay. All right, that's the win. Tell me,
crappy way to introduce the story. I apologize, but go for it, dude.
Well, I mean, I think you know it. I'm betting a lot of people. Google has now launched, and the way you worded it in the thread, you know, sending over the link to me was great. Would you would you use Google to buy auto insurance? Right, and they're now providing auto insurance quotes, like a comparison engine, similar to what they've been doing in travel. So I guess maybe I'll word it to you, and I have my thoughts, but I'll word it to you. Would you use this?
Okay. As I understand it, Google is piloting a new feature. It's calling Google Compare, and it's doing it in the auto insurance vertical. It's like a comparison shopping site. Now, that's one part of the story. Another part is a agreement Google has with an insurance agency based in San Francisco, where Google is licensed to sell insurance on behalf of this company, and this company pulls insurance options from large carriers. So you got Google comparing rates between insurance companies, and Google also having an agreement with an insurance seller based in San Francisco. And I think this is how this story has evolved, and business reporters have put the two together.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Google already does the same sort of thing in with flights,
credit cards, with
mortgages, etc. Google will compare rates that it can extract from websites, from similar mm-hmm. websites in any industry. It'll do that as often as it can. I don't know if this necessarily says that Google's going to sell auto insurance. It's speculation that Google will sell auto insurance. It's a lot of speculation. Like, a lot of people are saying this is where Google's obviously going, but it doesn't necessarily mean that they're going there. You know what I mean?
No. Yeah, I know exactly what you mean. And the thing is, I mean, it's a funny question, or that's been posed. And it was, I apologize, it was actually in an article that I was looking for, not your comment to me, would you buy auto insurance? And it was actually from an article that I was reading on it. But the funny thing is, to me anyway, looking back at our search volume trends, in March 2014, 1,491,850 searches were conducted on Google involving the terms car insurance or auto insurance, right? Just based on Keyword Planner. So here's the thing. We're already trusting Google with our decision. Like, we are. We're already going to Google, looking it up, and finding mm-hmm. out who we should go with, what we should do. Would we trust Google with our car insurance buying patterns? We already do. Would I trust them with my travel patterns or providing me travel advice on where I might like to go, I already do. Because when I'm looking for information, I'm going there, and then I'm trusting their top 10 anyway.
You know what's funny, Dave? We're asking these questions in a society that gets its basic health information from Google. Do I have cancer? Yes, you do.
The answer is yes if you're on WebMD, no matter what it is. You could have a hangnail.
Yes, you do. Please call us. And so, yeah, of course people are turning to Google. So Google is able to compare and contrast and show you all these rates. Why shouldn't they put a buy button beside what it considers the top rate for your needs?
Yeah, or, and this I'm going to find really, really funny if this is the way it plays out. If they can add buy buttons to a variety of different ones, which is from everything I'm seeing and from what we're chatting about here, it looks like they'd be providing different buy buttons from actually different offerings. So if they're doing that, now I'm thinking, I'm flashing back in Dave's life about 13 to 14 years to the version of Dave that Google hated. And that Dave built affiliate sites where he compared various products and allowed you to purchase them off the site. Now, I'm comparing that with what Google's doing here.
You didn't get burned for that, did you?
Oh, I sure did. I had domains just toasted to the ground, which was fine. I had, you know, like any good affiliate marketer, I had 10 more coming up behind it. But I had domains just totally turned to, you know, salted the earth behind them. It's done. And certainly, I mean, you'd never get away with that now. I'd get away with it long enough at the time to sort of, you know, it was worth doing, right? I mean, that was the approach. That's affiliate marketing, right? Or at least the approach I was taking to it. In this case, okay, so now you're just providing a basic comparison graph and letting me buy my stuff from it and making some money while I do. That sounds a lot like exactly what they hate and what they're punishing people for doing.
Kinda. Google would likely argue back, we're punishing people for what they do on the website, not what the website does. But what Google's doing is cutting out the middleman here. Google's playing affiliate marketer for all intents and purposes.
Indeed, and then, of course, you have to worry about bias. Right, the only ones they're going to show, and where are they going to place them on the page? Up at the top, and who's going to show up? The people they're making money off of, right? Like ads, but it's going to look a lot more, unless they put a box around it, like these people are making, you know, we're making money off these people, and not just put it in a here's a comparison up at the top of the search results, because I have no doubt it's going to end up there. Then they're going to have some problems. One of the funny things I found about all this as well is the big launch. Like, you can actually use this service on the compare out of or something very similar to it out of the UK right now. I'm like, really, you're heading into the UK? Like, this is where one of your big pushes is, because as we know from all the court issues going on.
I was just wondering, what are the Europeans going to make of this? Like, yeah. the European Union Trade Commission, they're going to go nuts on this.
Oh, yeah. So that's just a whole other kettle of fish. But of course, we just get to leave that to them and then report on it with some bigger. So that'll be a story to watch.
We shall see. Okay, we got a couple of minutes left, and I'm not sure where we want to go now. What are you seeing out there? I've got 1 minute left.
Oh, one. Well, we can't even really get into anything in 1 minute. Well, that's trying to go through the new. I'm like, there's Snapchat. Yeah, we can't even really get into much. So
we can't talk about that. But we'll talk about all that stuff next week. Friends, on behalf of Dave Davies from Beanstalk Internet Marketing, this is Jim Hedger from Digital Always Media. You've been listening to Webcology on WebmasterRadio.fm. It's the 15th of January, 2015. Stay tuned to Webmaster Radio. More great stuff coming up on the network after the news.
The This has been a presentation of WebmasterRadio.fm, the world's largest business-to-business radio and podcast network. We welcome you to sample past episodes of this program, as well as our complete library of programs, on demand or on the air via our 24/7 live audio stream at www.webmasterradio.fm. The opinions expressed on this program are those of the guests and hosts and do not necessarily reflect those of WebmasterRadio.fm's management or sponsors. Any rebroadcast or redistribution without authorized consent of WebmasterRadio.fm is prohibited.